السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, also sisters listening at the madrasa and over the receivers, we were discussing these ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that whosoever learns these ayat and then practices upon it, then he will go to Jannat. So we discussed to some extent the khushu in the salat. We discussed success of a mu'min, qad aflaha al-mu'minun, that what is ultimate success. Some form of material wealth in the possession of someone is not ultimate success. A little bit of health or some good home or good car, this is not in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala real success. They are ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and there is no sin if a person has to use the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. In fact, it is necessary that he should use it and build a connection and ta'alluq with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He must not be extravagant, but at the same time, if Allah Ta'ala has blessed someone with wealth, then the signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ni'mat must be seen on the person. Once again, it does not mean that the person must now wear the type of clothing that the kuffar, the fussaq, the disobedient servants of Allah Ta'ala, the mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara, whatever they consider to be fashionable and as a trend of the time, then the person starts wearing all those type of clothes. Or he goes to the extent of disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the usage of that wealth. The person must use it within the parameters of Sharia. People must not consider a rich person to be a very poor person and a beggar by looking at his clothes. Person looks at the clothes of the person or the living style and then begins to feel pity for him, gets compassion in his heart and desires to give him some zakat, sadqa, fitra. So now that is not right. Allah Ta'ala has given somebody ni'mat. Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, on one occasion he mentioned, he says that I was going out on safar and on journey. So I just wore my simple kurta and I was going, which had one patch also on it. And he did that for a reason, that he wanted to be simple. But he says, my wife said that you are going on safar and on journey, and it is a journey for deen. You are going to go and give waaz and nasihat. So therefore, wear the best that you got and go. So he says, since that time, I make sure I wear the best and go when I'm going for waaz and nasihat. Now look at her reason behind it. Say, although she was a woman, but look at her reasoning. She said, wherever you are going to go, there will be people that will be listening to you. And thousands of people used to attend his programs when he used to go around. So many people used to be in his lectures and talks. So he said, when somebody is going to see your kurta, then they will feel pity. They will think that Maulana hasn't got a good kurta. Let us buy him one. Let us give him one hadiya of a kurta. So therefore, wear a nice one and go. So we must understand that these people, when they wear good clothes, or sometimes they travel in a good car, or live in a nice home, then we must not come to conclusion that they are just people of the world. Dunya is in their hearts. It does not mean that. ND 500-568 Jetta. Please remove your car. ND 500-568. I was mentioning to the friends one incident the other day that Ibn Arabi Rahmatullah Alayhi was such a great buzru, such a great wali, such a great person in this field of tasawwuf. So he had one murid, and that murid of his was a fisherman, but a fisherman with an outstanding quality. He had a very large heart. And he had great sympathy for the poor and the needy. So he used to go with his boat and fish. And when he used to catch the fish and come back, and he has a large catch, then first he takes out one fish for his home. First he takes out one for his house. And the rest of them, he goes and distributes it to the poor and the needy. Now what a character. What a characteristic. Then Hazrat Muhyiddin ibn Arabi Rahmatullah Ali, he gave him Khilafat. One day the murid of this fisherman Khalifa now, he was going to Spain. Now Hazrat ibn Arabi Rahmatullah Ali was there in Spain. Those days they didn't have cell phones and speedy communication as we have. So he said, you are going down there. So you will meet my Shaykh, the Ibn Arabi Rahmatullah Ali. So you go and meet him and say that the distance is so much and for some reason or the other I couldn't really communicate with you recently. So therefore, must give some nasihat. I'm going back, so I want some, so must give some nasihat. My Shaykh has said you must give some nasihat. Now this fisherman who just keeps one fish for his own self, distributes the rest of the fish to the poor and needy. Now when this murid of his went there to Spain and he met as he was entering the city, and then the person was guiding him along to the house of the Shaykh. So on the way they saw cultivated fields. So he asked that person, who does this belong to? He said, Ibn Arabi Rahmatullah. As they went along, they saw animals grazing, cattle, sheep. Said, who does this belong to? He said, belongs to Ibn Arabi Rahmatullah. At that time, of course, he was alive, but now he's Rahmatullah Ali. Then they saw orchards. Said, who does it belong to? He said, belongs to Ibn Arabi. Then when they arrived at his home, it was a big mansion. So he expected it to be extremely simple with no furnishing, no carpet. Ibn Arabi Rahmatullah Ali, such a great Shaykh of Tasawwuf, he must have been sleeping on the floor. With no blanket also, that's what he expected. Now here he saw a house well furnished, and he saw that he was living in a very comfortable home. So he had great doubts about this Shaykh. He says, this cannot be a real Shaykh of the Tasawwuf. And my Shaykh, that is that fisherman Shaykh, he is the greatest. Because look at his life. He does not even keep more than one fish for himself. Now when he was going back, he said that my Shaykh has said that he must give some nasihat. You have given him khilafat, so he wants some nasihat. I'm going back. So he said, the nasihat is this, you must tell your Shaykh that he must take out the love of dunya from his heart. So that was even more amazing. He said, must tell him to take the love of dunya out of his heart. So that convinced him that this Shaykh does not know what he's talking about. When he returned, then his Shaykh asked him, he said, did you convey my salam and did you tell him to give some nasihat? He said, yes. I said, what nasihat he gave? He said, no, don't worry about it, nothing really. He said, no, no, tell me whatever he said. He said, no, nothing, don't worry. Now, he doesn't want to say. So then after insistence, he said, the nasihat he gave is that you must take the love of dunya out of your heart. Now, that didn't make sense to me. That you've got no dunya with you, and he said, must take it out of your heart. What dunya you must take out of your heart? And he is living, he's got orchards, he's got good home, he's got cattle. So he said, you don't understand what he said. What he was trying to convey is that this action of mine, I'm just explaining to you that we have to understand sometimes the sayings of these people. What he was trying to say is this, that you are indeed doing a very noble act. That you catch fish, you keep just one for yourself and distribute the rest. It's a very noble act. However, it seems that you have got a great attachment to that one fish that you keep separate for yourself. You consider yourself to be the most generous person, in other words, that you gave away everything, so you consider yourself to be the most generous one. But that tawakkul of which you are making a claim, it is not complete in your case. Because when you take that one fish out first, it indicates that you haven't got that kind of trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whereas you should have gone on distributing, at the end of the day when there's one left, you should have kept it. But first you take it out for yourself, so it shows you got great attachment that that one fish must not go away. Now we are not in that caliber, because it was not necessary for him to lead a life like that. If he was leading it, it was his, for his own benefit, for the akhirat, whatever he was doing. But then there must be no bold claim behind it, that I've got that degree of tawakkul that I don't keep anything of the dunya with me, because Allah Ta'ala didn't say that. Many times I've explained that if you look at the ayat of the Quran Sharif, there are ayat of zakat, aqimu salah wa atu zakat. So where should there be zakat if the person doesn't have any kind of wealth? Or if Allah Ta'ala had intended that the person must give away everything, then there would have been no zakat. Inheritance masail, so many other masail which are related to wealth, indicate that it is permissible for a person to make use of the ni'mats and bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but then we must become like Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayh, that in spite of having everything, his heart was not attached to anything. Now that is not our condition. Our condition is our heart is so attached to our cars and our homes and our wealth, that a slight loss and the person's dimagh is gone, his head is lost. The person suffers depression. Why? Because he lost some worldly goods or some money or some property. So that shows that there is such an attachment to it. The person just cannot take it. Natural grief, there's nothing wrong with that. If somebody's goods got lost, there's a natural grief, the person will suffer. But that kind of attachment that the person now, his health is affected, his namaz is affected, his ibadat is affected. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani rahmatullah alayhi, in those days somebody brought a very, very expensive mirror for him. The servant that was bringing it accidentally dropped it and it smashed. Now he got very, very worried. What is he going to say now? So he said, accidentally this happened. He said, no problem. It was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qaza that it happened. So asbab khud bini shikast. He says, he made shukr on that, that something in which I will go look and then I will begin to admire my own self. So Allah ta'ala made it get smashed, finished. Now again, it doesn't mean that you can't look into the mirror. We have to understand these things. But what he tried to show is that his heart wasn't attached to it. When it came, he made shukr and accepted it. When it broke, it's gone, finished. So Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi had all those things, but his heart was not attached to anything. He was making use of it. And here this person was giving away everything, but his heart was very much attached to that one fish that he was still keeping. Now these are things of great people. For us it is that make use of the namas of Allah Ta'ala, give zakat, give sadqah, give fitrah, help and assist the poor, the needy, give hadiyas, spend out of that which Allah Ta'ala has given. Don't attach the heart to it. That much is sufficient. I don't know how we went on through all that discussion. Nevertheless, we come back to the ayat of the Quran Sharif. So there we were discussing about the khushu in Salat. And then we spoke about, yes, success. I was talking about success. That the real success is going to be in Akhirat. Real success is going to be in Jannah. Where there is ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun sami'at wa la khatar ala qalbi bashar. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. And the thought also hasn't crossed anybody's mind. Then we spoke about the khushu in Salat. The humility, the complete submissiveness in Salat. The thoughts which come, the person just ignores it. He does not entertain those thoughts. He does not sit with those thoughts in his Salat. Then anything that is prohibited, anything that falls under the category of lagh, vain, the person shuns it. The person turns away from it. Whether it is vain talk or vain actions, the worst form of vanity or the worst form of this lagh is kufr and shirk. And then all other things which turn a person away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can all come under this category. Then with zakat, we said that one is the zakat that the person gives on his wealth when he is sahib in nisab. But I discuss the seven qasams that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes in وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Now after all the seven qasams, then Allah ta'ala says قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Indeed, that person has succeeded who has purified his heart. Zakat means purification. The person who purified his heart, Allah Ta'ala says, that person has succeeded. And that person has failed, who has corrupted his own heart. When he corrupts his heart, engages in sins, evil actions, evil deeds, so then that person has failed. So here this words zakat can also refer to that which we term as purification of the nafs or soul. Now we proceed from there, although these things can be discussed at length, but without going into further details, we'll come back again inshallah if Allah wills. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Now this is the scourge of our time, zina. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that one of the sifats, one of the characteristics of the believers is that they guard their chastity. They guard their chastity. Meaning that they don't engage in adultery or fornication. They distance themselves from zina. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself has said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. So Allah Ta'ala is not saying don't commit zina. He says don't even go close to zina. All the asbab or the means of zina also the person must distance himself. Because we are dealing with cases every day and we know what is happening. The heartbreak that it is causing, the marriage breakdowns, the sicknesses, the diseases, AIDS and other kinds of problems. And then the loss of wealth, loss of respect, loss of dignity. Good people in high positions in society, but when they gave up to their base desires, see what happened to their reputation. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that good reputation is more precious and more expensive than the most fragrant scent that's available in the world. A good reputation is more precious than that. Because reputation is not something that you can put a price tag on. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He gives izzat and respect. It is a great fazl and ihsan of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A person who is seen in clubhouses, in discos, in cinemas, in theatres, in rave clubs, and the person does not even consider that as being damaging to his reputation, his dignity which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given, then there is something seriously wrong with that person. His mizaj has changed. He is like a person who is jaundiced, that the person is seeing everything yellow. White color also is yellow to him. Blue is yellow. Green is yellow. So this person requires a treatment. He needs a proper cure for his ailment, to make his mizaj right so that he can understand that these things are damaging his reputation. If he considers that as some kind of honor that his name appeared in the newspaper, that he was seen with this film actress standing arm in arm, so then there's something wrong with his dimagh and with his head. If he's a Muslim, we're talking about Muslim here, we're not talking about disbelievers. For the disbelievers, it is a great respect. But for the Muslim, if he is seen in all the wrong places, then it is damaging to his reputation. And as Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that that reputation is more precious than the most fragrant scent that is available. Now we know in the world there are certain kinds of fragrances that just a very small bottle of oud, the pure oud, and the pure musk and so many other kinds of fragrances, they cost thousands of dollars. So he says that reputation is more precious than that. And that beautiful poetry 120 times you already heard, now listen to it 121 times. Mana maasiyat me mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Mana maasiyat me mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. There is definitely some kind of enjoyment. Mana masiyat me, in sin, there is some kind of enjoyment. But it is mujrimana. Like how a thief steals and enjoys something that is stolen. That's the kind of enjoyment there is. When he will get caught and he will be punished for it, then he will realize what kind of enjoyment he was having. How many of them in hijacking and in hold-ups and in other kinds of thefts and crime, then there is shooting, the person gets injury, or he goes into prison after arrest, and sometimes he has to spend the rest of his life there. Now all kinds of things happen. So what kind of happiness is in that? So he says, mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. That Allah who gave us sight, hearing, speech and that health, now we're making baghawat with that same Allah. We're rebelling against that same Allah. We're challenging the might of that same Allah who blessed us with all those ni'mat. If he had snatched away that health, as I've mentioned many times, that go to the hospitals and see the people that are on drips and on all other kinds of tubes running through their bodies and strapped to the mattress, cannot make any kind of movement with their heads or with their eyes. Of course, that's a different story altogether, that for them, for some of them, that is a great ni'mat and a great rahmat and a great mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is closest to those people who are of broken heart. Those who are very weak and those who are very sick and those who are in great turmoil and distress, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is closest to them. He loves their ah that they are making in that pain and in the distress. But provided they have got that connection and ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. So on the one hand, we will ask for good health and we will ask for shifa and we will take the medication and take the treatment also. But on the other hand, the person who is an ashik of Allah Ta'ala and who knows that Allah Ta'ala is the one who is his creator and the one who is the sustainer and the one who is giving the health and the wealth and everything else. So So he will not complain of Allah Ta'ala, he will complain to Allah Ta'ala. He will complain to Allah Ta'ala, oh my Allah, I am extremely weak. I am very, very sick. I've got great pain in my head, in my stomach, in my legs. He will complain to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, bless me with shifa. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai, zarur marizo ki shifa, lekin daste khuda mein hai. So he will ask Allah Ta'ala for shifa. But he will believe that my Allah is closest to me in this state also. And he is listening to me. And it is like that child, that example I think I have given. That the father has brought a toy for the child. And it is for the child. The father is not going to play with the toy car. Is the father going to play with it? So he has brought it for the child. But after bringing it, because he dearly loves that child. He didn't bring it because he hates that child. So now he brings that toy and he holds the toy up like that. Now that little child is jumping for the toy. So he brings it lower. And as soon as he comes for it, he brings it up again. Now he's playing with that child. And the child then begins to cry. In frustration, depression, that I'm not getting the toy. So the child now gets tears in his eyes. Then the father gives it. So when the child was jumping for it, at that time there was no hatred. It was the love. The father was getting happy. The mother was getting happy. See how this child is jumping. So like that, some bandas of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala loves their ah so much. The ah that comes out from the depths of their hearts in pain, in suffering. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves it so much that it is that which brought them to Allah ta'ala's door. So Allah ta'ala wants to give, but he's taking them through a different route. Some child, the father brings it and puts it in the lap of the child without making the child jump at all. Now that is Allah ta'ala's will and wish, who he loves and who he takes through which route. So for a mu'min and a Muslim, in all conditions are nothing but good for him. If only he can understand, then all conditions are good. What is not good is sins. Sins distances a person from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy. If a person does not make sincere tawbah, then he distances himself even more, until finally it becomes hatred for the deen of Allah, hatred for the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So sins are very dangerous. But sickness, pain, poverty, weakness, all these things, a person should not lose hope. So this zina that we were talking about, there is no doubt that there is pain in the person's heart when he is going to restrain his gaze from haram and his heart from haram. That mana masiyat me, at the end of it is zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. A little while of pleasure, but hamesha ki nadamat. Regret, all one's life sometimes is this regret. Ask those people who have gone through such kind of situations and they were in some kind of position in society. How many imams of masajid, they lost their imamat, they lost their position, they lost the respect in the society. How many haji sahabs, how many qari sahabs, how many mufti sahibs, how many engineers, doctors, lawyers, parliamentarians, ministers, prime ministers, presidents of countries. The same zina made them lose their reputation. And no matter how much they try after that, they cannot seem to get it back. Once again, I repeat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very, very merciful and very, very forgiving. If a person made a mistake and he sincerely repents and turns towards Allah ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will forgive. But man doesn't forgive and forget in a hurry. They will keep on taunting and keep on passing remarks, and that stigma seems to remain. That Maulana sahab again, after that, if he has to come and say, I want to give a bayan in this masjid, Then they will straight away say, no, but he did that. The reputation is gone. So a person has to be very much on guard in these days when fitnas are all around. And from all sides there is nothing but seduction and invitation towards sin. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They guard their chastity. They do not give in to the temptations of the nafs. From the asbab and from the means of zina also they distance themselves. Why create such situations where the person will get caught up in zina? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who does not know his story? There was the king's wife, the Aziz of Misr's wife, Zulaykha, and all the doors were locked. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the most handsome person, more than half of the beauty of the world was given to him. And on the other hand, the wife of the Aziz of Misr, and she also a pretty woman, and she's got a palace in which she is living. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam could have achieved so much of the material world and so much of more comforts in that palace if he had given in to that temptation, or if he had given in to that seduction of Zulaykha. But he, being a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he dashed for the doors after explaining to Zulaykha that this is not the right thing that you are doing, because it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he's given us our life, our health, and the beauty and everything else. Now it is not right that we should be doing something that is displeasing to him. But there was madness at that time. When there's infatuation and love, the person, dimagh and aqal is gone also. He does not even think clearly at that time. He has to distance himself. Many people, they want to come out of a relationship. They know what they have done is a wrong thing, but at the same time, they don't want to distance themselves. They don't want to distance themselves. They just want to make dua while still staying very close. So then it's not going to work. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam dashed for the doors. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his qudrat opened the door, locks of the doors. Meaning that we should not be just sitting and just expecting our duas to work. Duas do work, but at the same time the person has to make the effort. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. He must run towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Distance himself from there. Now those people who employ very pretty young secretaries and they work with them day and night in their offices, in seclusion, then do they expect to be saved from the attacks of shaitan? How are they going to get saved? They are going to get involved, and then later then it will be regret, lifelong regret. And shaitan, he increases the beauty of the woman who is a ghair mahram, even though she may be ugly, but in the eye of the person who has fallen in love, Allah Ta'ala system is this, that shaitan, he will increase that beauty and show it to this person. And Allah Ta'ala will test this person even more. Allah Ta'ala system is that there is a test. This world is a world of test. Now if this person had to distance himself, then if just on the lowering of the gaze the person gets sweetness of iman, then if he distances himself, what will he get? If sweetness of iman is promised on the lowering of the gaze from haram, the beautiful face that came, the person distanced him, he lowered his gaze, then he is promised halawat of iman. Then if he is actually there and he distances himself when the temptation came, then how much he will get? There was one butcher in the time of Bani Israel, and he was in love with his neighbor's daughter. So the neighbors sent that daughter to some other village for some work. So this person pursued that daughter. And then somehow he met up with her, and after that he tried to seduce her. So she responded that, I love you just as you love me too. But I fear my Allah. I fear my Allah. So then this person said that if you are fearing Allah, why should I not fear Allah? So he turned around and came back home. But whilst returning, because of the extremely hot weather, he felt very, very thirsty. And there was not a single cloud in the sky. So Bani Israel, one of the Nabis, a person who had stayed very, very close to that Nabi, he happened to meet this person. He was also going in the same direction. So he said, that where are you going? He says, I'm going to a certain place. He said, where are you going? I'm going to a certain place. He says, extremely hot weather. I'm feeling very, very thirsty. So this butcher, he told this person who had lived very close with this Nabi of Allah at that time, he said that you make dua because you are in the company of this Nabi of Allah. So you make dua that Allah Ta'ala sends some clouds to give us some shade or makes it easy for us to find water somewhere. So that person said, no, you make dua. He says, but I don't have any good deed. What dua am I going to make? I'm just an ordinary butcher. I sell meat. That's about all I know. I don't have any good deed to my credit. So he said, all right, I will make dua. So he made dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent a cloud that gave them shade. Now both of them walking in the shade. When they reached the junction where the one person had to turn right and the other one was going left. So this person who stayed in the sohbat and company of the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala for a long period of time and who was a very, very pious person, he saw that the cloud moved in the direction of this butcher. So he said, you had asked me to make the dua, but here it seems that it was with the barakat of some good deed of yours that Allah Ta'ala had accepted our dua. And you said that you got no deed, you have got nothing to present to Allah Ta'ala. So therefore you told me that I must make dua. So definitely there is something that you have got. He says, no, I don't have anything. He says, no thing. He says, well, the only thing is this, to be honest, that I came to this other village here, pursuing this woman with whom I had fallen in love. And I thought that I will get my desire fulfilled this side because she's far away from her home. But then when she said, I fear Allah, so I said, if you are fearing Allah, why should I not fear Allah? And I took a roundabout turn. I said, this is the deed that Allah Ta'ala sent this cloud. This has been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions about three people that they went into one cave. Because it was raining, so they went into the cave. I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning of that. So one big boulder, one big rock came and closed the door of the cave. Now all of them are trapped inside and nobody can come out. So they said, well, now it is either death or that we make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ask Allah ta'ala to get us out from here. But each one should think of some good deed that he did and tell Allah ta'ala, Ya Allah, with the barakat of this good deed, get us out from here. So each one started recalling some good deed of his. Three of them were there, three of them recalled some deed which they did sincerely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Again, the ikhlas that comes in there, that amal that they had made, there was no show business in that amal. There was no riya in that amal. It was not to be recognized. It was not to get some kind of name and fame. It was solely for the pleasure of Allah. As I always say, do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give you from His treasure. So they started recalling the deeds. The one said something, the other one said something, there's no time to go into all those details, but one of them said that there was a cousin of mine with whom I had fallen in love. And I was very desirous of getting a kind of a relationship with her. But there was, every time that I said something, she was not interested. She refused. But then the times changed. Poverty came upon her. She was desperately in need of some money. So she came to me and she said that I am desperately in need. And this is our condition. Great poverty has struck us. So I took 120 Ashrafis, gold coins, and I gave to her. But I said one condition only, and that is that you have to fulfill this evil desire of mine. I'm just giving an explanation. This evil desire which was in his heart said, you have to fulfill that, then I give you this. So he gave her that. And when they were in, there was nothing that was restricting them outwardly. There was nobody watching. There was seclusion. But she said that I fear Allah. I fear Allah. Inni akhafu Allah. And said, why are you trying to do this? I fear Allah. So you too fear Allah. She said, I separated myself and I let the money go also. So that boulder which was there, as they recall their good deeds, one about his parents and the other one about somebody that had worked and had left behind the money that was being owed. Now without going into the details of that, this one incident was, or one of them recall where he distanced himself because of the fear of Allah. So that boulder kept moving, as each one recalled it kept moving. When the third one said, Ya Allah, with the barakat of this good deed which I did solely for your pleasure. So then that boulder moved out and they all of them came out. Teaching as a lesson that anything that is done with the khawf or the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then in difficult times when there is no other support of any kind that the person can put his gaze on, at that time if he recalls that good deed and he says, Oh Allah, this one deed of mine which I did solely for your pleasure, then you will be surprised at what it brings in return. This khawf of Allah Ta'ala is not just the khawf of the government taxes and fines and imprisonment and all those kind of things. You don't get anything in there. No sukoon comes. This fear which is of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab, it is because of his azmat, the fear that Allah ta'ala is so great, so powerful, almighty. And how can I challenge Allah ta'ala's might, and especially when he is the one who has blessed me with all that I have. Now if the person restrains himself from haram and then try it out, when there is some difficulty and some pain and some kind of a desperate situation at that time, recall that deed which was done solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and then say to Allah, Ya Allah, that deed which I did was solely for your pleasure. Nobody came to know about it. Neither my wife, neither my children, neither my parents nor my neighbors. Ya Allah, in the late part of the night or early part of the morning, that deed was done solely for your pleasure. If it was maqbool, then Ya Allah, with the barakat of that maqbool deed, remove this difficulty of mine or remove that suffering of mine and see if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not accept it. After that again, if it doesn't happen, what we don't get what we are asking, then we must believe that it has been accepted, but in the wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is great khair, that there is a delay in giving us what we are asking. Or Allah will give something else or remove some other bala. So the temptations are great. Nobody is saying there's no temptation. All round there's nothing but temptation. So purposely we should not create new temptation fields. And if we are in a place where there is temptation, then we must look for another job or run far from there or find some other kind of occupation. And until we don't find it, then we keep on making istighfar, tawbah, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And those who just cannot, then they must try the level best to control the gazes and their hearts, and the accidental sin, then again plenty of tawbah. But there is no other way. Which other way there is? So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And there is great, great reward on this. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health, and the opportunity to continue, then we shall continue. I forgot about what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said. Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayya. And inshallah we'll discuss it. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا غياث المستغيثين. ہم بے حد مجرم ہے، خطا کار ہے، گنہ گار ہے، سیاہ کار ہے، بدکار ہے. My beloved Allah, we have gained nothing in distancing ourselves from you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except anxieties, restlessness, problems and worries. My beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, bless us with your muhabbat, bless us with your khawf and fear. Ya Allah, let us do everything out of your muhabbat. Ya Allah, put your azmat into our hearts. Put your greatness into our hearts. Ya Allah, let us realize that our lives are in your control. Our wealth, our health, our homes, the ground on which we walk, everything in your control. Ya Allah, distance us from nafs and shaitan. We are extremely weak servants of yours. My beloved Allah, we will slip if there is any kind of temptation. We are not bragging of our taqwa and of our piety. Ya Allah, we are expressing our helplessness and our weakness before you. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you, give us the strength, give us the courage to distance ourselves from nafs and shaitan. Give us the strength of lions against our nafs. Ya Allah, put the sweetness of iman into our hearts. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with the halawat of iman. ہم کمزور ہیں، ہم ضعیف ہیں، ہم ناتواں ہیں، ہم سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے، تجھے چھوڑ کے میرے مولا ہم گندے جائے کہاں، تجھے چھوڑ کے میرے مولا ہم گندے جائے کہاں. Where do we go, my Allah, my beloved Allah, my beloved Allah. Who is there for us besides you? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Become ours and make us yours. Koi mujhse puche main kya mangta hoon. Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hoon. Woh ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska. یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, in clinics, in homes or amongst us, Ya Allah, bless everyone who is sick and ailing with complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases. We know that sometimes it can be a rahmat and a mercy, but we are extremely weak. My Allah, change the rahmat of sickness to the rahmat of good health, the rahmat of poverty to the rahmat of wealth, the rahmat of weakness to the rahmat of strength. Oh, my beloved Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove the difficulties. Ya Allah, bless us with a life of taqwa. Ya Allah, make us all yours and become ours. When the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, drugs or any kind of haram action. Take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with burial in Baqi. If it is not muqaddar and destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the problems of the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give hidayat to the entire mankind. Make everyone worthy of entry into Jannat. My beloved Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, this dars of the Quran Sharif which has taken place. Those who have raised their hands, bless them with the best of dunya and akhirah. Fulfill all their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the suffering, the pain and the problem, the sicknesses and diseases that each and every one who has raised his or her hand is suffering. Ya Allah, with your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, remove the suffering, the pain, the difficulties, the hardships and the problems. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين